This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hey, this is Hannah Forden. I'm the program manager here at Heritage Radio Network. This year, we're celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary, and I want to thank all of our listeners and members for being a part of an incredible year of food radio. We never would have made it this far without all of you. So HRN is now in its summer fun drive, and this is when we turn to you and ask that you make a donation to help ensure a bright future for food radio. Whether you listen to one show or 20, there's a reason why you keep tuning in week after week. All of our content is powered by a small nonprofit, and we rely on your generosity to keep going. Help us keep broadcasting the most thought-provoking, entertaining, and educational conversations happening in the world of food and beverage. So become a member today. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we have some brand new member gifts available online, so I encourage you to snag your new favorite pizza-themed t-shirt or enamel pin today and show the world how much you love HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate so you can snag your 10th anniversary member swag. And thank you.
And Adam.
And this is Natural Disasters. I apologize that my if I don't sound as energetic. Maybe I do.
No, you have a rasp to your voice.
Yeah,
I noticed it.
I was I just got back this past weekend from Wild World Festival, a wine fair in Austin, Texas, put on by Byron Bates of Goat Boy Selections, Lee Campbell, Alice Firings up
Wait,
in
Wild
there.
Wild World?
Wild World.
Ooh, babe. Babe, it's a wild world.
It was.
Is that Cat Stevens?
Yes, it is.
And then was it covered by some other band or is that?
Probably, because I think all Cat Stevens songs like have to be covered by other bands.
Yeah, okay.
Like, or maybe not. Maybe it's just like that one song and Cat's in the Cradle. And,
yeah.
Or maybe Cat Stevens never sang Ooh Baby. He did. I don't know. Absolutely he did. I feel like
it was in Donnie Darko, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I might be thinking of Tears for Fears.
Anyway.
It doesn't matter.
How was it?
It was great. It was a super great festival. What was really exciting for me is that, so this is the second time I've been in Austin in the last 6 weeks or like a couple months for wine related events. And it's really exciting to be in a market that's like just so curious and excited about wines that are just, they're just really pumped. And it's not just industry people. It's also, consumers are just really, really excited that the wines are coming out. I mean, Jean Foyard was there.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever been to a fair where Jean Foyard was.
I hadn't either. And he went to Austin.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. It's pretty sick. So yeah. And we're going to be talking more about fairs in a little bit.
That's actually what this is about.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about wine fairs, but before we do that, let's talk about what we're drinking today. This is a pretty badass fucking wine.
Yeah, and it's totally, I don't want to say unexpected because I don't know if it's unexpected, but
yeah,
it is his wines, the wine we're drinking is really just like a pleasant little discovery.
And it's the Marto Weiss. So I keep wanting to call him Marto, but his full name is
Martin Otto Vorner.
Yes. I had
Vorner.
I had Adam read it because I'm like, I just want to say Warner.
It's an O with a line over the top. I don't know what that
means. It's not a line. It's the two dots, bro.
It's an umlaut?
It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's whatever. Marto is fucking awesome, and shouts to Marto because he's a fan of the pod as well.
Yeah, and a sick skateboarder, I've heard.
Yeah, and he's really good at skateboarding. And another cool fact about Marto. So he's imported by Percy Selections. His wines are already sold out. So
yeah, these are we're doing this.
I've been holding on to this wine.
The shit thing where we're recording, we're talking about a wine that's no longer available.
Yeah, but this is like someone to be on the watch for.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So he's super young dude from Germany. He studied with Matassa and Gudegau.
Yeah.
Who I just visited, and they're amazing.
He's young, right?
Yeah, he's super young. I want to say he's like 23, but that might be wrong. But he's really young. And then, now he manages his own 3 hectares in Flonheim. That's not where this is from, though. So the Weiss is a blend of Riesling, Silvaner, and Moor Thurgau from the Rheinhessen. Rheinhessen?
Rheinhessen.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm great at pronouncing German.
Müller Thurgau.
Okay, so we're not great at I'm still not great at pronouncing
Müller Thurgau.
So it's a 2017.
It's a beautiful color.
Holy moly. So, yeah, talking about the color first, it is the most perfect afternoon through sunglasses, like sepia colored, you know?
Yeah. Or like
daffodil. Like just, it makes me want to sing Donovan's Sunshine. No, that's not the.
You're thinking of Stevie Wonder?
No,
Sorry for all the bad singing. Our pod is now is just us doing karaoke.
Yeah, a cappella. It's sad. Anyways, but there's this Donovan song. I forget what it's called, but it's like, I just sang it and now I forgot it. But anyways.
Yeah, it's a beautiful wine.
Yeah, sunshine came softly through my window today.
It's just like glowing.
It's glowing.
It's like this peachy glowing.
It's just mesmerizing to look
at,
honestly.
It's a gloomy day here in Los Angeles and somehow light is just
illuminating.
Yeah,
from this glass.
Yeah,
and
it's like that's where all the sunlight is coming from.
It feels like it should be something in some sort of orb in a David Bowie movie from the 80s.
Totally. The Goblin King drinks this fucking wine.
Fuck yeah. And then he looks into it and sees the future. There are little sediments, guys, in here that I'm like, ooh, maybe.
And then the nose is exactly how it looks, which is really weird. I don't feel like that's something that happens very often.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it looks.
I mean, it looks peachy and it smells peachy?
Yeah, it looks like a peachy Haribo.
To me, okay.
And it smells like a peachy Haribo.
I like how you say, is it Haribo? I always said Haribo.
I thought there was an I. Haribo, is there an I? H-A-R-I-B-O?
I obviously can't read either.
Haribo.
Haribo, okay.
Anyways,
gummy bears, dude.
Yeah.
I've had like 6 packs of those in the last week, I tell you.
Well, you were in Europe.
Yeah, and in Texas, and we like to buy them here. Anyways, it smells fucking awesome. Like, to me, this is more mango-y than peachy.
Yeah.
But
if I was to, and from the nose, it's like that, deception where you're like, oh, this is going to be a totally sweet wine. And then you take it, drink it, and there's like zero. I mean, it's zero. It's not sweet at all.
No, it's not. It's so dry, but like plush.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
It's really, in that sense, it actually does remind me of like biting into a peach.
Yeah.
You know, like when you like crunch past that fuzzy, like
right past that fuzzy skin.
Yeah, and then it's
right
like
to the juicy
yeah,
center.
Yeah, and it's like so delicious, but more of like a white peach.
Have you ever heard me talk about how a peach is the most a perfectly ripe peach is the most perfect food in the entire world?
It really is. I would say though that this itself is more of a white peach because it's not as sweet.
Yeah.
My problem with peaches though is that I'm allergic to the skin, so when I eat them. Like if
you
I
get
eat
like
them,
a
yeah, I get like a hive mustache or a hive goatee, but I actually like love
it's
biting into
it.
Them and like having the juice like drip all down my face.
You gotta bite it and like at the same time.
This is exactly.
Isn't that a good sound here on the radio?
That's also how I eat crunchy granola bars. You know, if something's crunchy, you just like suck it in.
Real quick. All the dust.
Yeah, it's like
that's weird.
It keeps things clean. Anyways, I really like this wine a lot.
Me too.
I tried these wines actually for the first time. Well, I tried one of them in Chicago, but I didn't really get to try these wines until Brumaire this past March.
This is the first time I've had this wine, any of his wines.
It's so good.
They're very good. All right.
Speaking of meeting Marto at Brumaire.
Boom. Perfect.
I know.
Segue.
I was trying
That's what they call you, Marissa Segway Ross.
Yep.
That's what the A stands for.
Yeah. And that's also, you know, I am also like.
Always on two wheels.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I met Marto at Brumaire and got to try some of his wines then. And, you know, just coming from a fair and also too, by the time this comes out, it'll be like summer and there's more and more fairs every year. And so we thought it'd be cool to kind of go over some pro tips for you guys at wine fairs.
Yeah, totally. As it is, I you know, when we were talking about this, I was like, I mean, wine fair season isn't a real thing.
Yeah, it felt like it might have been a real thing for a second, but now I think that's been blown
now
out of the water.
There's like one new wine fair a month, it feels like.
Dude, I just heard about some in like Slovakia that are happening.
Yeah,
like they're just popping up.
So if anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, a wine fair is an event, a fair, where people invite multiple, maybe dozen to, you know, 100 winemakers to come and sort of show the public in one giant
arena
extravaganza.
Yeah.
All of their wares.
Yeah. Or whatever vintages they have available. And, you know, these sorts of things used to be technically trade shows.
It used to be very trade centric. And a lot of times I think fairs were, when they first sort of started happening, were either an importer would sort of, and those are more like portfolio tastings.
And those still happen. There's still like portfolio tastings. And I think like in the conventional wine world, it's not quite as a free-for-all as it is in the natural wine world. But in the natural wine world, the fairs have become a way for the winemakers to showcase their...
It's exposure.
Yeah, exposure not only to, you know, importers and distributors to, you know, conduct business.
Yeah.
But also to show consumers.
Well, like, La Dive is more about the trade side of things, I think, still. And, like, people go to discover
new people.
It's like
La Dive is the big fair.
Sort of the one that everyone's sort of based...
Yeah.
I think. I could be wrong.
I could be wrong about
historically on but it seems to be.
La Dive is the big one that happens in February in the Loire.
The Brumaire that happens.
And then Brumaire
in March.
Is in California in March. And then Raw is, you know,
London, New York,
LA.
LA. I heard Montreal maybe.
They do Montreal and they also
Miami.
I don't think they do Miami, but they do also I think they do one in Copenhagen. Anyways, Raw's all over the place, and that's all those happen all year, kind of.
Third Swaff, is that what it's called?
Yeah, in Chicago. There's just like billions now.
Yeah.
There's
literally 1 billion.
At the time of recording, the Los Angeles Times Wine Bowl.
Yeah, there's Wine Bowl that's this weekend.
It's this weekend, I mean, which will be over by the time you hear this. But anyways, so wine fairs, they're a thing, and we've taken just as much time to list off as many.
So we wanted to give you sort of a cheat sheet, if you will. Marissa and I have been to our fair share.
That was a good one.
Thank you. Also, I've poured at fairs as a winemaker. So.
Adam has been on the winemaking side. I've been on the more consumer side. I've also poured at Vinditur in Italy.
Poured for me,
too. Oh, and I did pour for Adam at Brumaire. So, and you know, we go to a lot of these, and we decided that
we have experience, so we're going to kind of give you a cheat sheet on how to look like a pro.
Yeah.
How to ace these.
How to have just the best time.
Yeah, and get the most for your money, because they can be a little expensive.
Yeah, they can get a little expensive. And also, too, like, how to be respectful to the cause.
Yeah, how to be an ally for natural wine.
Totally, because you're not just there for yourself. I mean, you're there to drink, for sure, but, like, you're also there to support the winemakers that are there. You're there to support like the importers and distributors and all the other people that make that possible.
Yeah, and some of these winemakers don't travel very often. Maybe this is their one trip that they're making out, or one of two trips, and they're going to be in the States or wherever they're coming from for a short period of time. And maybe this is your one opportunity to
it
to
might
meet
be your
them.
Only time to see Jean Foyard.
Yeah, or whoever you're going to meet. And so, yeah, let's make sure that we're doing
the best of it. Like, let's make
so
it 100.
First, get as drunk as possible.
Okay, time out. All right, before the getting drunk part, which we will definitely talk about, the first thing you want to do is prepare yourself to go to the wine fair. And, you know, there's a couple things that we would suggest doing. The first thing is you want to eat before going to a wine fair.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Because you don't know if there's going to be food there, and also you are going to be drinking.
And you don't know what food, if there is food.
Yes, it could be like, who knows?
Yeah, and don't just eat a granola bar. Like, really go in and, like, get, you know, line your stomach. Like, really eat something solid, I would say. Eat a meal.
Eat a meal, for sure. And make sure you do that, because if you don't, you could end up hurting midday.
Yes, absolutely. And also dress comfortably.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that really dress up for these things. And I'm like,
which is if you want, like,
and if you want
saying,
to do that,
we're not saying don't look good. We're
but
not
you
like,
can do
don't,
you.
Don't wear like sweats head to toe.
Well, no, but just keep in mind that you're going to be on your feet all day.
Yeah.
That you're going to be around people that are drinking and that
spilling
on you. There's a lot of elbow knocks. All right.
You're going to have your wine is going to end up on you at some point.
Yes. From my own personal experience, I would highly recommend wearing dark colors or shit you don't care about.
Some jeans and look good, but don't.
Because
don't.
This isn't like we said earlier. Like this isn't one. This isn't like a portfolio tasting for like you know these super expensive Barolos that you're going to.
Yeah, keep your pin at home.
Yeah, you don't need to wear your pin or your blazer. I mean, yeah. If you want to wear a blazer, that's fine. I mean, wear what you want to wear, but just like our...
Yeah, this is our advice.
Because I've made the mistake many a times of like being like, I'm going to look cool and good and like whatever. And then it's like, great, I just destroyed those fucking shoes.
Yeah, totally. Or like, my satin pumps.
Yeah, because I'm definitely going... I'm very much known for going around in satin pumps. But no, it's just like you're going to be on your feet all day. You will get spilled on. You may spill on yourself. Also, the floors are like just like sticky.
Yeah, like, it's like a movie theater floor.
Yeah, it gets gross kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a movie...
And as the day gets longer, the
it gets grosser.
Also, something that you mentioned is the perfume.
Ooh, yeah. You guys,
or cologne.
Ladies...
Men,
guys, everybody.
Axe body spray. Cancel it for today.
Please, please, please don't wear... This is a heavy don't wear perfume or cologne.
Yeah, this is more of the professionals kind of know this. This is more of the maybe you've never been to a fair before and you know, you always...
This is true just for regular wine tastings too.
Yeah.
Please don't wear perfume or cologne because whether you know it or not, everyone can smell it and that's all they can smell. Instead of what's in their glass.
Correct. And a lot of professionals are aware of this and you know, it's just one of the polite things to do.
Yeah. And it's just being situationally aware.
Yeah.
Like.
Sorry, we have a guest. Zizou is here.
Yeah. Come on in, Zizou. Hey, bud.
Hold
on. I want to leave this in.
Ah. Hold on. What are we going to do with him? Come here. Come here. He's like walking. Okay. Zizou, come. A big one is please don't wear perfume or cologne.
Yeah. Anything that exudes, is that the right word? But anything that expels scents in
yeah.
a big way.
Even if it's just, you know, your Le Labo lotion.
Or your Crew hair stuff.
Yeah. The thing is, hair products, I don't know.
Some men's hair products can be really fragrant.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is that be aware that when you wear really fragrant things, everyone around you can smell that because a lot of the, especially the professionals, like we're there to smell stuff.
Yeah. Olfactory, like smelling is a big, big part of tasting, especially if you're going to be doing tons of tasting.
Yes.
There's a point where your palate gets fatigued
and
like,
you need to be able to smell.
And smelling is a really big part of it.
And, you know, bless this woman's heart at this festival I was just at. She somehow ended up next to me at every turn. Yeah. And, you know, and I didn't want to be like, hey, you shouldn't wear perfume or these sorts of things. But the thing is that you shouldn't because it really is distracting from the wines.
It's like answering your phone in a movie theater.
Yeah.
It kind of has the same vibe to people who are in the know, I guess.
Well, and also, too, it's one of those things where oftentimes if you get the perfume smell in your nose, you can't seem to get it out.
Yeah, it's all you can smell.
It's all you can
smell.
And so just be aware that, you know, I own perfume. I very rarely wear it because I'm usually drinking wine. But this also goes for tastings, like at your local shop. Just don't.
I'd say this even goes, and I know people are going to be like, but if you're going to go out. Special dinner, I'd say even then, like lay off on the perfume a little bit and the cologne because it kind of gets in the way. It can, and I'm sorry. I know. I hope there's nobody here that's like that's listening. That's like a perfumer.
Okay.
Someone who makes perfume.
Perfumista.
Colognista.
Oh, I like that.
But yeah, like I just if you're it's.
It's distracting.
Smell is up there with sight and hearing and taste. And like, it can pull you out. It can pull you away. It can distract you.
It's extremely distracting. It's I have ADHD and it really, really bothered me. I was not happy about it.
Yeah. And then.
Zizou, get the fuck out of here. Just go.
Bye, Zizou. I love you.
He just wanted to see what we were doing.
I know.
Like, oh, you guys are just doing your boring ass podcast.
And then also, I think we had game plan.
Yeah.
Plan ahead.
Yeah, plan ahead. So a lot of times, like these festivals, you know, they'll have it online, like all the producers and stuff. Pick out some producers that you know you want to see.
Yeah, look at they release a list of who's going to be there on purpose.
Yeah.
A, to get people excited to go, but B, like for you to be like, okay, I know I want to see X, A, Y, B, Z, C, D, yeah. And these are the people I want to see. And so you can have a little bit of a game plan when you get there instead of just walking in and seeing a room full of hundreds of people.
Because it is overwhelming but
usually they're in these giant rooms.
Yeah, but that brings us to our next point. Get there early
when they open. Get there 10 minutes before they open.
Yeah, because when you get there halfway through and there's a bajillion people in there and you have to navigate these tables, it's not easy, even if you do have a game plan.
Yeah, and if let's say there's a superstar who's there that you really want to see.
Just kidding.
And you really want to meet that superstar and you want to taste that superstar's wine, the later it gets in the day, the longer the line for people tasting there gets.
Yeah, and also the drunker people get. And
the
like,
possibility of them running out of wine, which does happen.
Yes, that does happen a lot. That's happened at almost every fair Krista Scruggs has been at.
It's just inevitable. And so what do you have to do? Get there early.
And also, when you get there early, please don't drive yourself.
Ah, key element.
I mean, maybe you have a lot more discipline than I do. I mean, I think...
I don't even think it's about discipline. I think you accidentally get drunk at these things.
Yeah, and I believe that I'm actually oddly, weirdly responsible at these events,
yeah.
Kind of because I have to be at this point, just because people, you know, expect a lot out of me.
Well, you can't take a bad photo.
Do
you imagine a photo where you're just like...
I only hope for bad photos because my joy is to look worse on the internet than I do in real life. But anyways, the point is don't drive because drinking and driving is a bad fucking
look.
Yeah,
no, I mean, that's just bad vibes.
That's just a bad idea. So don't drive. Like, there's so many.
Uber or Lyft.
Or whatever it works in your city.
A bicycle.
Well, sometimes you can get DUIs on those.
Oh.
I don't know.
Public transit.
I would say don't even get in a carpool because I'm like, I don't trust anyone not.
It's true.
Like,
it's
I don't trust anyone that's going to one of these things that isn't going to be drinking. But please don't drive. That's just in general, like a big, I mean, I don't own a car anymore because my life is like drinking wine. And I'm like, I don't want to risk that. And like, I don't want anyone to risk that either. So please, please, please don't drive.
So you ate a bunch of hash browns and eggs and you're wearing your, not your Yeezy Boosts, but you're wearing some really comfortable sneakers and a really dope sweatshirt and you're all ready to go and you didn't put perfume on and you got into your Lyft and you're on your way to the fair.
Then you get to the fair with your game plan. You're there early and then they open the doors. Now, the first thing you got to do when you get there is obviously get a glass.
Absolutely.
But there's another glass you should get.
Yes, they'll usually be almost always a glass for water. It's usually a plastic cup. I personally like to use that plastic cup as my personal spit bucket.
I think that's a very smart idea because it's like it's a more polite, maybe not is the right word, but it's a more private way of spitting.
Yeah, I'm not sharing my spit with everyone in the fair.
Well, and then you got to like get the bucket.
Yeah, and sometimes you touch it or move, and you can just sort of spit in your own. You'll probably, if you ever see me at a fair, you'll see me walking around with my wine glass and then my spit cup in the wine glass, and that's sort of how I roll. And then I go to the place and I remove the two, and I spit everything into my little cup, and then I dump my little cup into the spit bucket.
I think that's very. I think that's actually quite polite.
It just allows my space to be my space.
And also
space.
Cleaner. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
See, so while we're here talking about spitting, I mean, not, you can think of as many sexual jokes for this as you want, but I don't spit. I always swallow. I call myself a dumper. which there's just so much going on there that we don't need to get into.
Sitting, spitting, or dumping. That's actually
I wrote it down.
Yeah, that's on our list.
Because here's my thing. I suck at spitting. It's like I make a mess of myself.
Yeah, you drool all and it's
just bad. Like,
yeah, you just never learned.
Yeah, and Andy Young of St. Reginald was just trying to teach me, and literally it's just like it's everywhere. It's gross.
She just opens her mouth and it all falls out. I've seen
basically. So what I do is, since I don't like to spit, and also because the way that I write about wines is I like to see how they make me feel, so I actually do enjoy swallowing them. And we will keep all the jokes to ourselves. I hope you have fun with them, thinking of them all in your own little brains right now.
I don't get them. I don't know what you're talking about, but it's okay.
Of course you don't. That's why we're co-hosts. what I do is I always ask for a smaller pour.
Yeah.
And that way I'm not wasting the wine by dumping it out, but I usually just take a sip, and then whatever I don't want to have, I just dump out.
Right, you don't finish the whole
thing. I don't finish the whole thing. So, and then, and like I said, to be more courteous of like the winemakers, I generally ask for smaller pours because I don't want to be dumping stuff out. But instead of spitting, I do just dump things out. You just don't have to drink everything. And you shouldn't be because there's a lot of wines. And speaking of which, going back to what Adam said about
people might ask, well, Adam, if you have a water cup, but you're not using it to drink water out of.
Here's what you do. Well, Emros has got a great tip for you.
Amazing tip.
Amy Atwood of Amy Atwood Selections taught me this. It was the best goddamn advice I think I've ever been given in the wine industry, which is you use your wine glass for your water glass. Because if you have a glass of water, you're not going to drink it. You're going to continue to fill the glass of wine with more wine and ignore the water.
You're human.
Yeah. Why would you drink water?
Why
would you drink water when you could drink wine? I mean, like, even Jesus thought that. Yeah. He was like, this water shit.
I'm going to turn it into wine.
I'm going to turn it into wine. That's not how the story goes, but that's how this story goes, motherfucker. Because that story's fake, and so is this one. So anyways, not to get religious on anyone, because I'm not. The point is that if you fill your wine glass with water, you will have to drink the water.
It's the only way you can get more wine in there.
Exactly. So then you're hydrating yourself, which is extremely important. Like, I think every single time I go to one of these events, I get like 9 messages from people that are like, how are you not constantly hungover? It's like, first of all, I'm not drinking everything. I'm a dumper.
Yeah. And I'm a dumper, not a spitter.
Exactly. And then two, I'm drinking water between every tasting.
Yeah, and a lot of people, so we didn't mention, so you go to a table and there's like a pitcher of water at almost every table. And that pitcher of water, I think sometimes people think it's there solely for the point of rinsing a glass, which to some degree is somewhat unnecessary.
Sometimes
you need it. It depends on what wines you're drinking, but using it to consume is such a smarter use of that.
Well, it can be used for both. Like, for example, at this thing in Texas, you know, Krista had this Frontenac Noir, which is an extremely heavy, dark.
Right, and you need to rinse.
And you need to rinse before you go and drink, like, a light wine.
Yeah.
So, but, like, instead of just taking a tiny rinse and, like, just swooping it around and then pouring it out, I take a, you know, like, an actual glass.
You take, like, 3 ounces, 4 ounces of water.
Exactly, and I chug that fucking water.
Yeah, no, it's such a, it's really smart. And then you have your spit cup, you have your wine/water glass.
Yep.
And you're ready to go. So now we have all that planned.
All that's planned. So that's good. So now, all right, you have your glasses.
Yep.
You're ready to drink water.
You're wearing your comfortable shoes.
And now it's time to go up to a table.
Oh, shit. This is the worst. This is the shit I hate.
Yeah. So you're about to go up to a table for
or
a winemaker.
You're behind the table.
Which is
even worse. No, it's not, all right. That's actually
better. I think it's equal, honestly.
So you're going to a table.
And there might be people at that table.
Yeah, and it's a big fair. There's a lot of people. You got there early, but there's still a good amount of people there.
And something important to remember is to wait your turn.
Please wait your turn. As someone who's poured, we're looking. We're trying to keep our eyes out for who's coming up to our table. We're looking around. We try in our brain, and for the most part, most winemakers are pretty good about this, to see what you've had, what you haven't, to engage. And so we're aware, if you cut, we see you cut. If there's a line, we know where your line is. We know what's happening. So as a consumer, just be polite and wait
and
your
be
turn.
Patient because most of the time they do see you and they will get you in.
They
so.
Want you to taste. That's why they're yeah. there. They're not there just to cater to one or two people. They're there to get as many people to taste their wines as possible.
Totally. And another thing is like, once you have been poured, just be aware of other people around you and make room for them. Like, don't take up the whole table. You know, the winemaker does want to talk to more than you. They usually want to talk to like a bunch of people at once. And so what they'll do is they'll pour a little bit for everyone and then they'll go into the wine. So once you're at the table, maybe just pivot and make sure that there's, you know, is someone behind you? Does yeah. someone else need to get in?
One of the things I do as a not as a per someone per pouring, but I appreciate, but as someone who's there is sometimes I'll be like, let's say I got there and I'm like one or two wines behind the person. I'll be like, hey, do you want me to catch up with that person?
Yeah.
And then I can sort of, and then, so then there's like maybe two or three people who are all tasting the same wines at the same time. So we can all sort of engage at the same time.
Totally. Because one thing that, I mean, I know that this is a thing for a lot of winemakers. They're repeating the same information over and over and over again all day, which is exhausting. And a lot of people are asking the same questions over and over and over again. So if you can make some room, you know, like just be aware if yeah. there's people that are also trying to get in on it, allow that, like allow people to join in.
You'll look savvy as fuck. You'll yeah. look like such a pro. Speaking of pros, oh, this is something I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
As somebody who is a buyer and somebody, I have mentioned this way too many times, but if you're in the trade, if you're a buyer or you're somehow in the
you're
position.
Adam Vervalis.
Well, if you're somehow in the Vervalis, position.
I still can't pronounce
who can buy, you're going to interact financially, not as a customer, but as like someone in the trade with that winemaker. Introduce yourself. Tell me who you are. If I'm pouring you wine and I pour all the way through and I'm talking to you and then I find out like an hour later that you're like the buyer at some restaurant down the street, I hate not knowing that. Like, I would so much rather you tell me that, because sometimes I feel like either like they're trying to be, maybe this is me being like a paranoid person, but it's like, why do you need to be incognito about that? Just like introduce yourself. Be like, yo, I'm Adam. I buy wine. I'm here to taste your wine. Like,
yeah,
it gives me an insight on who you are and what's going on.
Also, it just gets winemakers excited. Like, they want, you know, they need to sell their wines. It's their business. So it makes them happy to know, like, who's drinking it in the industry. You
yeah,
know?
Be stoked that you're selling my wine or that you're in, like, I don't know. I just really appreciate it.
Also, they'll remember you.
Yeah, totally.
And as a consumer, you know, like, let's say you are, like, we talked about, like, mapping out the people you wanted to go see. Like, if there's certain producers you really want to see and meet. Introduce yourself to them too, like as a consumer. Like if you really care about a winemaker, like
oh yeah, totally,
absolutely, tell them that that who you are, because that's just good stuff. They'll remember you, and like
yeah, and also yeah, like I we want to talk to you. If we can't talk, like I've been pouring when it's so busy, and I just don't have the time to like sit down and talk. And this brings me to another sort of point, which is like. Don't overshare. Don't like.
Yeah. Don't like hog. Don't like. There's so many people that do this thing. Like talking about, you know, being aware of the other people around you and being courteous to others. Like there are a lot of people that just hang out and take up the entire table with a conversation with a winemaker, and it's really fucking selfish.
Yeah, and especially this goes to what I was saying. Like introduce yourself. If you're not introducing yourself to me and I don't know what your position is and you're asking me all these really technical questions, I'm going to default assume that you're somebody who's buying. So this is capitalism, baby. Like this is, I have to sell stuff. So I'm going to devote my time, unfortunately, to that person because it might mean a big sale for me. And so like, if you're just like sitting there fucking in like a dick measuring contest to show me that like you know
about like what like I know about Amphora
or whatever it is you're trying to do, like dope, you're really cool, I'm so glad that you're an informed consumer or you're an informed buyer, but like this isn't about you personally.
It's about the community, like, and that's like yeah. the whole thing about like respecting the winemaker's time and also respecting the time of the people that are also have paid to be there.
Yeah,
you know, like if you're taking up a whole table. You know, because there are people that just like take up so much space.
I don't know
space.
How they do it too. They just,
I don't
like, they,
either.
I don't know if they put their elbows out or like
it's a
they,
thing.
They like take a wide stance.
And you know, I'm really fortunate that I'm in a position to where like if I talking about like not cutting and like, you know, waiting your turn, whatever. I'm in a position where if I really want to taste something, you know, I always can kind of do it later because I write about wine and I know a lot of these people, but there are so many times where I'm patiently waiting my turn when I do have a lot of questions that I want to ask, but I'm also very courteous about how I do it. I try to be. I never in a billion years would take up that much space and like also take time away from other people. Like everyone's paid to be there. Everyone is trying to learn something, hopefully. And
or just have a good time.
But you know, just be courteous of like this of the space and time you're taking up and like be courteous to those around you and also to the winemakers themselves. Because like a lot of times, you know, the winemaker is going to answer the questions that you're that you're going to ask, which is like, I think an important thing is like, you know, be curious, ask questions, but listen to the winemaker and like save your questions. Like if they're pouring, the third, whatever in the lineup they're pouring.
Their third $100 Groyo.
Yeah. Their $38 Grulot, as seen, never mind. I'm not even going to get into it. We're positive here. But you know, they're probably going to give you the information you want. So listen to the winemaker and also save your questions until after they're done explaining that glass of wine. And if you have further questions, like wait until after they've finished talking, because more than likely they're going to pour it for you. They're going to tell you the information that they want to tell you. And then if you still have a question, then ask them.
Yeah, absolutely. Just be courteous. I don't know. I don't feel like I need to tell people to be courteous.
We do need to tell people to be courteous. I feel like every time I go to a wine fair or an airport or a grocery store, literally anytime I'm outside my house, I just feel like George Costanza when he's in the airport, he's like, we're living in a society here. Like that's how I constantly feel. So, and I don't like, it sucks too because it puts me in a shitty position because a lot of times I have to be there for work. I don't want to have to be like, excuse me, I'm Marissa Ross, wine editor, Bon Appetit. You need to move. Like that's how I didn't taste Krista Scruggs' wine at Brumaire last year. Like I couldn't even get through. I couldn't even like the line wouldn't move. Everyone was just there to just talk to her and like stonewalled everyone else. It's like, okay, well.
And then keep it. So this is going to another, this is sort of getting into another thing of, don't like realize that there's a lot of people there who want to taste wine. And if you taste something you really like just like, I don't know. I'm so worried that we're going to be too negative right now, but like, I just want to make sure, like, don't sit there and just fucking chug wine. Like, don't go like, well, realize that we're all here to share as a community.
Yeah.
And like other people want to taste. And sometimes that means like giving up your.
Yeah, because it's not about you. It's really about the wines and the winemakers. And if you really want to have a conversation with that winemaker, yes, you probably then have already introduced yourself. And two, just step to the side.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, most winemakers, unless they're, you know, they're the, you know, the Frank Corneliusons or whatever, most of the time they have the time eventually to turn to you and have a conversation with you.
They're not busy all the time.
So if you step to the side and allow other people to have the experience that you hopefully had, you know, tasting with that winemaker, you can then be courteous to the fellow patrons as well as being courteous to the winemaker. Because if you really care about having a conversation with someone, you can have it.
Yeah.
It's just about, you know, being patient and being respectful.
You know what you can do? Here's a little cheat sheet. Ask them if they're hungry. And if they say yes, go and buy them some food. They'll be your best friend forever.
Wow. I've never done that.
It's such a cheat. If I was pouring, because you're always hungry.
What Adam is saying is that next time he's pouring and I'm around, he's like, Marissa, you got to start.
Oh, man. If anyone was like, hey, bro, are you hungry? And I was like, actually, I could go for some fries. I'm like, I'm going to go get you some fries. And they come back and they brought me some fries. They'd be like, you're my best friend. Here's a bottle of wine.
Wow. I had no idea it was that easy.
Bribing works. I wanted to bring up also, I've had this experience and I've gotten much better at it, where you go to a table and I want to taste. They have like 20 fucking cuvées and there's 20 of them. And you're like, all right, I'm not going to sit and taste all 20. Either A, there's some things there that I'm not personally that into, or B, it's just like a lot for me. Like, I'm not ready to like commit to all that. It's okay to be like, hey, I'm only interested in this, this, or this.
You can definitely tell people what you want to taste, especially like, this happens to me a lot where I'll be super familiar with certain wines, you know, like they're
right. And you're there to taste the new vintage or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't need to taste these three wines that I already have had in my fridge at home last week. I just need to taste these three.
Yeah.
And they're very understanding.
Or if you're just like, I know there's some people who do like a vibe where they like drink whites. They sort of drink progressive, like in a progression.
I try to do that and it never
works. It's very
worked.
Difficult. I agree. But there are people that do it. They're like, if someone's like, hey, can I just taste your whites? That's totally cool. Do it. Like, I'm totally down with that.
Just like everything in life, communicate your needs and your boundaries. That's important.
Yeah.
And also don't forget that, like, you don't have to drink all of it too in general, because there's usually more drinking after the fucking fair.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, it used to be there'd be like kind of like private after parties, but now there's just like so many events that happen around these fairs.
Yeah, totally.
That,
totally.
You know, if you want to get fucking blasted out of your mind later on at the party where everyone else will be doing that, you don't want to get blasted at the fair, which is something we'll also get into later. But something important about talking about drinking cuvées, all these things. If you don't like a wine, let's say you're drinking all these cuvées and you don't.
Yeah, you hit something that you're just like, ugh.
You don't need to tell the winemaker.
You don't need to make that noise.
Just don't do it. Just
don't need to.
Like, it's not Yelp, okay? Like, it's not, that's not, and it's not, not positive at all. It doesn't help anybody by being negative just to their face, because even if you don't like a wine, that doesn't mean that someone else around you might not like that wine.
Also, like,
and also, it's just like, it's like,
I'm not me, but like, there's a lot of these winemakers that are like, they live in remote neighborhoods or remote areas. And
dude, they're in caves for most of the fucking year alone, and these are their opportunities to be around people.
Yeah, they come out like once or twice a year to be around social and to be like really social, some of them. And like, they're, you know, I don't know. I just, there's this thing about,
well,
like,
and a lot of time they're donating this product. They're donating this time.
They spent money to come out.
A lot of times they're not only paying for the booth, but they're also paying, you know, it's their product. They're paying for their airfare a lot of times. Like,
because I was pouring not my wines, but somebody else's wines, because everyone loves my wines. No, I just don't I just don't make enough wine. I had a couple of people like, oh, I don't like this. And I wasn't the winemaker, but there was part of me is like, I don't need to hear that.
No, but here's the flip side of that. If you do like a wine, please tell them.
We love
it.
We love it.
Because just like I'm saying that they've been in caves, literally underground for like half the year.
They're basically troll people.
I'm not going to go that far because there's lots of actual troll people. But they love that.
To
hear that means the world to them. So if you do love something, tell them.
By all means.
Please tell them. Like, please tell them when you love something. Please tell them when you really enjoy something. Because that means the world. Like,
it's all they want.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel the same way about my writing, you know? I hear a lot of negative feedback, you know?
No.
Well, no. I have equal amounts of feedback. But I love when someone's like,
yeah, I love what you do. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's so nice. It's so good to hear, because it makes the work that you've put into it matter. And like, especially for these winemakers that have probably traveled really far and have spent money and are using their product, they want to know that you like it. Like, in the one thing that you got to think about too is that, like, you know, we as consumers get to go to these things all the time. They might not get to. This might, like we said, like, this is might be their one few times a year that they get out to reach their drinkers.
Yeah, I'm a winemaker in Italy, and I'm going to Los Angeles for Raw, or I'm going to Oakland for Brumaire. I might never even been to California before. I've never been to Los Angeles. I've never been, and that's a huge market. That's a lot of consumers. Maybe these people have been pouring my wine for years, and I've never met them before, and like, I don't know what this city thinks of me, or likes, or doesn't like, or whatever. But just, yeah, it's just beautiful. It's nice. It's nice to hear. It's nice to hear stuff.
Also, it's just easy to be kind and like, and on the flip side, it's easy just to like not be negative. Like, just be, remember, like, this all, like, everything that we're saying, even the stuff of like, don't do this, don't do that. The only reason we're saying these things is to promote a sense of community within, like, and positivity for the winemakers and for the consumers.
I'm just telling you how to look like a boss, how to like go in and people be like, man, that motherfucker knows what they're doing.
Exactly what everyone thinks when Adam walks into a wine fair.
Man, that's a pro. That person is a pro. And that guy's got the good Coke.
Oh boy. That's one thing. Don't do blow
at the fair.
Don't do it. That's a
whole. Or in general.
I guess, I mean, I'm not going to tell you. Actually, don't do it in general because there's a ton of fentanyl and all that shit.
I know.
Now.
Supposedly it's all fucking.
I know. You're going to, I mean, like, I'm not saying that I've never done cocaine, but I definitely wouldn't do it now because that shit's cut with so much gnarly shit. Anyways, back to winemakers. You know. Also, just like be respectful of the fact that, like, if you're trying to talk to a winemaker and spend time with them, not all of them, because they spend most of the time, some of them spend a lot of time alone.
A lot of time. Like, a donkey is their best friend.
Yeah. It's sort of like me and Zizou, you know, like, and sometimes, except I'm an extrovert, but a lot of these people are introverts. There could also be language barriers. So be respectful of, like, the winemaker's disposition. Like, they might not want to talk to you, and it's nothing personal. It might just be like, they are already putting so much of themselves out there.
This is exhausting for them.
Yeah, it's exhausting for them.
Mentally.
And even like as an extrovert and as someone that, like, you know, I sign books at these events or whatever, these are exhausting events. And a lot of these winemakers have traveled really far and it's a lot of work for them. So if they're not like, maybe you've done it all. Like, you waited in line, you got to the front, you saved your questions.
Yeah.
You stepped to the side for your sidebar conversation. And then, and I mean, I've had this happen dozens of times where I do wait to have a conversation and they just do not want, they do not
engage.
Want to fucking have a conversation. Yeah. I've had winemakers straight up be like, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to deal with this. And it's like, okay, cool. And like, I have to respect that. And it has nothing to do with you, but the fact that this could be a huge, huge, like, emotional overload for them.
Totally.
And mental overload in a lot of ways. And so you also want to just be respectful of, like, where they are. You know, and like think about like where that person is, instead of being like, wait, but I needed to know this answer about this whole cluster.
No, like, or my favorite is like, last year you made the wine this way. This year it's this. What happened? That's the question I always ask. I know I'm the worst. I always ask about the how they change, because you can taste how they've changed their winemaking,
totally,
and how
totally.
They've grown. And as a person who's more on the production side lately, I find the growth really interesting. So I ask people like the things that they've learned from the previous vintages. And sometimes, as somebody who, like, sometimes I just don't like, because my vintages have changed and I've changed the things I've done. And people go, oh, last year was this year was this. And sometimes I don't want to be.
Sometimes you're just tired.
To you. Yeah, I don't want to explain. Why I decided to do more carbonic or less carbonic, or why I did less maceration or more maceration.
And there's a good chance that you've already answered that question a billion times that day. You know, like
just don't take it personal.
Just don't take it personally.
I think that also, like, one of the big keys here is, like, it is a fun time. I think that I've distilled from this conversation and us doing this research, right. I don't give a shit.
Wow, okay. hold on, now I have to burp. It's not coming. Damn it.
No. Go. It's live. We'll do it live!
All right, here we go. That was for everyone that hated us before.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
So, talking about being respectful to winemakers, their dispositions, whatever. Maybe you've been waiting for a conversation with, I'm not going to name any names, you've been waiting for this French guy, and he's actually kind of an asshole, and then you're like, actually, okay, I'm not going to bother. Fine. You decide to go taste. And you're like, oh, like, I can see, you know, my favorite whoever, but their line's so long. Go taste things that are outside of your comfort zone. Go taste things that you're unfamiliar with. Go taste.
Go discover. That's why you're there.
That's why you're there. Like, use that curiosity and, like, go find a new producer that you love. And, like, you know, that person that may have, like, the empty table that may not look, like, super cool, like, could have incredible fucking wines that are just waiting for you to go and drink them. And like, and that should be a key point. Not just being with producers you know and you love, but finding new producers to
every,
know and love.
Every producer at one point in time was the producer who had who was unknown.
Yeah.
Every producer had to start as an unknown producer.
That had an empty table. that didn't
that
have
wasn't a, as busy.
Yeah, or in like maybe didn't have an importer or distributor or any fans right. or whatever.
And they got there because you tasted them.
Yeah, and they need the support of the consumers and they need the support of the industry, you know, but like people have to go taste them.
Yeah.
So, and also too, you could just also too, like maybe you don't like, for example, I'm just going to use Pinot Noir as like a, just a,
yeah.
just a broad example. Maybe California Pinot Noir bores you to fucking death. Fine. But maybe the Slovakian Pinot Noir that's being poured at the table with, you know, that has no one at, might change your fucking life and like change your perspective on that wine. Or maybe you hate Pinot Noir. You think the entire grape is fucking shit. And then you go taste this new Pinot Noir from a new region, from a new producer or whatever. And it could change your whole mind on Pinot
yeah,
Noir.
No, absolutely. There's definitely, there's, it's about discovery. I mean, that's really why we go to these fairs.
And like, that's why it's so important to be curious and like, not like be an asshole being like, I know stuff. Cause so many people, a lot of people are like, I'm here to prove I know stuff. And like, I still like to make myself worth out of wine. And it's like, no, be there to be curious and discover and be excited and learn.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to learn by like stomping your feet around talking about how you know so much about carbonic. Like, you're going to learn by asking questions politely and absorbing everything that comes to you, which comes to another point.
I just want to check in and make sure. Have you been drinking water?
Me?
You? No, not you. The hypothetical person at the fair.
I was like, where's my LaCroix?
Have you been walking around and drinking your water?
You better be fucking drinking your water.
Because we've been at the fair for, 30, 40 minutes now.
We've been at the fair for 52 minutes, it looks like. And we've drank not that much water.
We need to drink more water.
We need to drink more water.
Remember,
you need
drink your water.
Drink your goddamn water. That's what your wine glass is for, goddammit. But no, so let's, you know, you're discovering new things. And let's say you discovered something you're really curious about and you can't get out of your head. Like, sometimes I'll taste something and I'm like, whoa, that was weird. And I'll be like walking around for a while and I'm like, that was really cool.
I gotta go back.
It is totally perfectly okay to go revisit wines.
Absolutely.
But do it with respect. Like, it all comes down to respect. For example, you know, if you really love something, you can be like, excuse me, sir. Whatever, madame, I would love to revisit number 4.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, it's easier just to talk about the order versus, like, whatever. Because a lot of times they have, like, the same names or the vintages or whatever.
I think it's because Marissa sometimes is scared of pronouncing things out loud.
That, too. Except now I'm so known for pronouncing things incorrectly that it doesn't matter.
But you can just say whatever you want.
I'm just like, give me the fucking one. give me that one I really, really liked. But don't be afraid to revisit. But something that I want to bring up is, please remember, this is not a fucking open bar, all right? I know you paid $85 to get into this wine fair, and you want to make sure that you get all $85 worth of wine, totally. But if you think about that, I don't do math, but I'm pretty sure that's only like 8 glasses of wine in Los Angeles, maybe even less. And
I think that's a lot less.
A lot less, yeah. And this is why I don't do math or go to bars.
I think it's 5 glasses of wine.
Yeah, oof. So last year at Brumaire, there was a group of people that were like scheming and scamming on how to get like winemakers to pour them more and more wine and how to get just these same producers wines. And it made me really sad because I'm like, that's not what this is about. Like, it's not about like getting hammered off of like Frank Cornelison's wines. I know I keep bringing him up, but it's like, we're talking about like superstar.
I want to get super fucked on Susukaru.
Exactly. And like, you know, there's certain wines that people really want a lot of. And it's...
Well, I mean, I will say that there is an aspect of like, sometimes you get to taste things that maybe are unavailable or
totally.
You don't get to taste very often.
Absolutely. But like, those things are just as unavailable to everyone else.
At the fair.
Or in general, like there's tons of stuff that I don't get to taste at fairs because I genuinely am like against like using... Well, now I've gotten a little bit more like, okay, I need to get in here for certain stories. But, you know, there's things that we don't get all to taste and we want to be respectful of that. And like, it's just not an open bar. It's not like the point isn't to just get super hammered on your favorite, you know, 3 producers. It's to explore and to be, you know, and I know that we keep saying like, be curious. And like, I feel like we have like a lot of buzzwords in this episode,
yeah.
Which is, I'm fine with. But it made me really sad because it also like showed like an exploitation of the winemakers. and of all of it because it's just not in the spirit of the community, you know. And maybe other people don't think this way, but like I really believe that we're all in this together, and like this should be for all of us. And by just trying to figure out ways to
scam a system, get wasted,
to scam a system,
you can do it for cheaper. First off,
with people that don't care if you do it,
yeah,
you know, like because these are people that may only have a couple cases, you know, they maybe only were able to bring like 25 bottles,
yeah.
And if you're like out there, and not saying that you're going to do this, but like it broke my heart to hear like this group of four dudes, like, and I'm sure they're in the minority, but it crushed my heart to hear them like talking about these winemakers I knew personally and like how to like trick them into giving them more wine when they've already gone to that same winemaker three times. And it's like, okay, just, you know, like,
it seems like, boring to me, to be honest.
Well, it's just do that. Selfish. That's
just boring.
Well, it's just what it is. But all I'm saying is that it's not an open bar. Like, it is, but it isn't.
It's not your cousin's wedding.
No, it's not. Speaking of which, that gets into our next thing. Try not to get super sloppy. You can get super sloppy at a wedding. And trust me that you can get super sloppy at a wine fair. But
oh, it's easy to get sloppy at a...
Yeah.
Yeah, present company included.
Yes, yes, present company. I was gonna say, I can't even get it out. Yes, we've both gotten
way too drunk.
Yes,
and then it's no one's fault but our own.
No, yeah, exactly. But like the deal is, if you're getting super hammered at a wine fair. It's not just your friends that are worried about you, but oftentimes it's the people that are working the fair.
Yeah. And even the winemakers, I think that there's an aspect of like, when I'm pouring and someone comes up and they're like, hi, can I taste your wine? There's like a sort of, I don't know. There's like an aspect of it where I'm like, fuck, like, do I pour this person? Do I,
are they going to remember?
It's not even,
are they not going to remember taking a photo with me?
Am I just going to get this person so drunk? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's, we know, we're aware. Let me just say that.
Yeah. We in the wine community are very, very well aware.
Winemakers are aware that you're like slurring or that.
But also too, like I was saying, like the event people are aware. Like at this fair I was just at, this woman, like bless her heart, but like she was passed out or like passing out on some stairs.
Yeah. I've seen puking.
Yeah. Well, no, she had like a glass in her hand, you know, like about to spill into her lap. And thank God for really, like, I'm so happy that like the festival at Wild World, they were like on it. They were like, oh, we already got her. We already called, like found out who her boyfriend was. We called him, like made sure that like she was going to get taken care of. But the thing is that you got to remember that your behavior, if you're getting like, and, you know, some people are great drunks and other people are not. And like, but if you're getting like super, super sloppy and like out of control, that does affect the experience of the people around you, as well as the winemakers and also the people that work for the, that are,
yeah,
working
people
the fair.
Planned months to put this fair together.
Also too, like, I don't know if like all the insurance covers all of that. Like you could become a liability very quickly for the people that are working really, really hard, yeah, to put this together.
So this is the opportunity to do cocaine. Sober up, guys. Come on.
No,
get
because
your
that's
shit
fentanyl.
Get your shit together.
Do not do cocaine. Most of these things have coffee at.
That's true. There's always coffee.
There's always coffee.
And drinking your water.
Drinking your water, coffee. Hopefully you bought fries for yourself and a winemaker.
Yep.
And lastly, I mean, not lastly, but like one of the other things about getting sloppy is please don't get handsy or fucking creepy.
Well, this is, I don't know if this is like a.
I don't know how, if it's me saying, hey, don't be.
I think
handsy.
Are you just warning women that's
yeah, maybe,
a potential?
Yeah,
because
hey,
I don't think anyone listening is be like,
it's not
oh,
just,
yeah, don't get handsy.
It's not just women, though. It's not just women. Wolfgang, who I think will be okay me naming him, he also got handsy, or he
someone
was,
got handsy with him.
The same men that had been that have been handsy with me in the past, yeah, were also handsy with him. So it's not just women, men, women, regardless. This is like
people are drinking.
Yes. So, and there's like, you might not be the one that's sloppy, but there's a good chance that a lot of other people are. And there are a lot of boundaries that are very easy to be crossed in these environments.
Just be safe out there, Potters. Be safe.
And like as a woman or a man, like whatever, like have someone that is looking out for you. Like, please have someone that is looking out for you. Like, I almost got kidnapped at Lediv last year, and it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. And if Robbie Cox, who I literally met at a gas station earlier that day through a friend of a friend who's from New Jersey but is now like the chef de partie at SEP team, didn't see me being dragged out by it, like, because I didn't have a voice left and I was like screaming, but like I couldn't actually scream. Like, if he hadn't seen me getting dragged out, like, there's a very good chance I would have been taken. And
this is, you know, very intense.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is like the shit, like shit can get weird. Or like even like just this past weekend, so like my friend was like, yo, that winemaker was smelling your hair. And I'm like, wow, like that's weird. Or like, you know, like it's just like people get handsy, people get it's just like
people get weird.
People get fucking weird. So like protect yourself. And if you get handsy with people, fucking don't. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, but I don't know if handsy people...
And if... No, but here's what it goes to. If your friend is getting handsy with women or men or whoever...
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're
witnessing a fucking douchebag being a douchebag...
Fucking say something.
Yeah.
Like, even at this festival I was just at, there was a dude that I know to be... that has a reputation that I saw with a woman, and I checked in with her. And I was just like, yo.
She acknowledged it was okay.
I was like, yo, is everything okay? Is everything okay? And she was like, it's fine. Like, she got really defensive about it. Like, I was like cock blocking her. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not trying to cock block you at all. I'm just trying to make sure that you are safe.
Yeah.
So please be safe.
And this isn't, I just want to be careful. Like, we're just talking about because there's copious amounts of alcohol.
There's
being
so
consumed.
Much alcohol being consumed. And it's...
And I'm not excusing bad behavior.
No.
Alcohol does not allow people to have bad behavior.
No,
it's not an excuse for bad behavior.
It's not an excuse for bad behavior, but like I'm saying, be aware that this bad behavior happens.
Correct. Anywhere. Not just natural wine fairs. Any place where there's copious amounts of alcohol.
And like... And you need to be aware of your surroundings, and you need to be aware of your space.
This is about you being a top-notch...
person.
At a fair.
Yes. And like, if you see one of your buddies like being handsy or being creepy, fucking stop them.
Yeah.
And if someone is harassing you,
call them out.
Say something and call them out, because it's not acceptable, and it can escalate really quickly, and it's not okay. And it's something that I'm like very passionate about, like putting a stop to.
I think also this is something relatively new in our industry that we're really like, it's a shame that this is something new in our industry.
No, I don't think it's new. I think we're just finally talking about
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I'm saying the new, not the harassment is new. This is old.
No, the
time.
Harassment is, yeah.
I'm talking about our industry being more savvy to calling it out.
And this, I think, could be a whole episode on its own.
Yeah, no,
and I think
it
probably
will
be. Because, like, I know that when I call that shit out, people are like, oh, Marissa, she's just such a stuck-up feminist. And I'm like, no, actually, I just don't feel comfortable with, like, winemakers from France touching my tits.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, it's not okay.
Yeah, it's strange. Your sexist, sexually aggressive wine labels didn't tip me off to the fact that you're a fucking scumbag.
But what's funny is that I've actually met a lot of winemakers that have very sexually explicit wine labels that are really respectful. So you just never know. But the point is, know your own boundaries and, like, protect yourself. And then also watch your friends. Watch out for them being maybe victimized. And also make sure that your friends aren't victimizing someone else.
So this is a real heavy ending to this podcast.
Well, it's not, because we're also going to end on this. Well, we're going to end on a couple things, but next up...
We're going to do a duo. We're going to sing.
Well, we did start to sing. Well, the wine fair has been amazing. You've been curious. You've been drinking with new producers. You got to have a great conversation with the star winemaker that you
discovered
loved.
A wine from a young up-and-coming...
You were so happy that you wore your dark jeans because, you
and
know...
And your comfortable shoes.
Yes, because you got spilled all over, but you had
you
the best...
You ate a shit ton of hash browns.
Exactly. You drank so much goddamn water.
Yeah, you were... You drank so much water that you weren't sure if you were tasting more or peeing more.
Exactly, which is how it should be.
Yeah.
All right, so you've done all that. And maybe you go to an after party. And maybe you get... maybe you get sloppy drunk there. Fine.
Totally okay.
Totally fine, as long as you don't get handsy.
Getting sloppy drunk? I love it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
big thing. Seriously, get some motherfucking sleep. Because
true.
Most of these things are 2 days long. And trust, you're going to have a rough second day if you don't fucking sleep.
Or if it's one day, there's typically events that happen. Because usually these things are Saturdays or Sundays. That Friday or that Sunday or that's... They'll be sort
of... Well, that's fine. But also just like, let's say you're...
It's a weekend thing. It's not usually just like a one day thing.
Yeah. And let's say you don't get to bed till 3 a.m. I'm not saying you got to go to bed at midnight. I'm just saying allow yourself to get some fucking sleep if you don't want to feel like shit the next day. Yeah. And also maybe get yourself some lozenges because you're talking and drinking. And there's a... If you're in Europe, at least there's a lot of cigarette smoking. And like I said, like my voice is thrashed. And I didn't really do much except just drink and talk for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
But the moral of all of this...
Have fun.
Yes, have... The morals of this is, one, have fun. Two, be respectful of winemakers and other consumers and of the community and remember why you're there. And three, I guess the whole thing about this podcast is Adam and I have not done all of these things.
I've fucked up every single one of the things we've talked about.
Except maybe the getting handsy part.
Yeah, I'm not a handsy person.
Although, I mean, I might have hugged someone that maybe didn't want to be hugged.
But,
you know, I've definitely not eaten before I've left. I've definitely worn the wrong shoes. I've definitely worn white. I definitely have gotten there too late. I've definitely not drank enough water. I've definitely, interrupted people and I've gotten hammered and like made an ass of myself.
I've done all of these things.
I've done all of these things. Minus the sexual harassment part. We haven't, not that we know of, we haven't harassed anybody.
You've been harassed.
I've been harassed. Yeah. But the thing is like, we're telling you these things because we've fucked up all of these things.
We fucked up so you don't have to.
Yeah. And maybe we should have led with that instead of, because like, so, I mean, if you're even like this, like if you've gotten this far into the podcast.
They all have.
Yeah. If you this is going to be one of the ones where like, oh, I was 24 minutes in and I just want to kill myself. Like the cool comment we got while we were recording this. But truthfully, and like, you know what? I'm not going to say that I'm not going to fuck up these things in the past or
in the future.
I fucked up these things in the past and there's a good chance I'll fuck them up in the future. So like, this is almost for us as much as it is for you. Like, I need to remember these things too. Like,
yeah. And with all these fairs popping up and there's more and more of them. And I love that our community is growing and that everything's getting bigger and that people are really like, it's just more of like, let's just all as a community, let's fucking get together and make sure that we're doing what's best for us.
Yeah, be what's best for us as consumers and also be what's best for winemakers and the people that are putting this all together and like the countless volunteers. Like there's countless volunteers that deal with so much fucking bullshit all day at these things. And so it's just a matter of like just being respectful to everyone that's a part of it and like being respectful that this is a part of the ecosystem and like economy of natural wine and like making sure that we can continue to do this, because if people are just like assholes getting wasted,
belligerent and grabbing tits
and grabbing tits and trashing places and like not giving a
taking
fuck
dumps in the middle of the fair.
I haven't seen that yet,
but I'm sure it's happened.
If it hasn't happened yet,
it will happen
probably in France. But we just want the best for you and the best for the community.
Yeah. And the winemakers, everyone involved.
Yeah. So
drink your water.
Drink your fucking water. I got to find my LaCroix.
All right. I think that's it. Is that it?
I mean, it better.
This is a good pod.
This is a long pod if it's one thing.
All right.
All right.
And bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.